Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Doug?
That kind of sounded so like funny. Tim Allen in Home Improvement.
I wrote down, my line, Doug, exclamation point. And then in parentheses, I wrote Doug, question mark. And then that's exactly how you wrote it.
I don't know why that was the trickiest.
We always talk about our guest at the top of the show. But today, I'd like to ask, how are you doing, Doug?
Oh, fantastic, sir.
Doing our guest great. Today is an at. things are good.
Yeah, man.
That's good.
Been in the middle of a move, but that's always a good time.
A move, intercity move. You're moving from
yeah,
one place
just within the city. It's as far as moves go, it's like as good as it could be. It's like nice weather, and it's just a mile down the road. But moving still sucks a lot.
It's still getting all your stuff from one place to another and deciding which stuff is worth the effort.
Yeah, and towards the end, you're just like, none of it. Burn it all.
Right, you totally Marie Kondo all the shit. Just fuck it all. Like, none of this brings me joy because moving it is bringing me sadness. Yeah, I had to change apartments at one point. This was years ago now, but I just went on Twitter and said, hey, DM me if you want to come over to my place and take stuff. And then I just scheduled people times throughout the day and they would just come take stuff. And, and I lost most of my best stuff in that exchange. So it wasn't the smartest thing, but it was good to just get rid of a bunch of shit before I had to move it around. But our guest today is an actress and improviser, producer. She's one of the co-creators of the SF Sketchfest event that happens in San Francisco every January, February, in that range for like, it's like a festival that lasts like 4 weeks and it's stand-up and sketch comedy and improv comedy. And it's super fun event. And she's done lots of acting as well, including she was a co-star on the series You're the Worst. And her name, and she's the best. Her name is Janet Varney. It's Thursday, April 13th, 2023. Let's go to work. Hello, Janet Varney.
Hello, Dougs.
How are you?
That should be the intro to the whole podcast.
Right? Janet's had the best response to that opening.
Go ahead and tack it on that song. Tack it on that theme song, and you got yourself a little tiny cartoon anime voice at the end. It's just, hello, Dougs. Oh man! Thanks for having me.
That's even better than the first one. Thank you for being here or there, wherever you are. You're in the Los Angeles area, I presume.
I'm in the Los Angeles area. I was in Austin, Texas, just about a week and a half ago. So it's fresh in my mind. It's such a great town. I love it.
What were you doing in Austin?
I was shooting someone's film, but that was in Waco. But I flew in and out of Austin and, just like threw a little time in at the top and bottom of the trip because I knew it would make me sad to, go to Austin and then immediately just leave and go to Waco.
Waco. Yeah.
No airports in Waco, I guess.
You know, Doug, and you know which Doug I'm talking about when you ask this question. Have you spent much time in Waco? Because it was cooler than I expected, which surprises me.
That's good to hear. Yeah. I've avoided it for the most part. I drive through it a lot, but I really haven't. But that's nice to hear.
It's I think because it's in between Dallas and Austin, and I guess evidently this. I enjoy decor, but I'm not an HGTV person. But I guess there's a couple that went to Baylor University, which is based in Waco, and they came back there and opened like a cafe and a B&B and a like couple of silos full of furniture and stuff. And their names are Chip and Joanna Gaines, names I had never heard before. And then when I was in Waco, I might have heard them 55 times.
Everyone just name drops Chip and Joanna.
Yes, seriously. Because a lot of being there is people saying, and have you been to the Chip and Joanna Gaines silos? Have you been to the, I believe the cafe is the Magnolia Cafe. And have you been to the Magnolia Cafe? And I didn't have a chance to do any of that. But yeah, so it's like, it's on the map in this sort of unique HGTV way.
Oh, they just took over the town.
I mean, I think people are just relieved that it's not now people can bring up Chip and Joanna Gaines in lieu of, or at least in addition to, like, you know, David Koresh.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, is it's like some sort of anniversary of the David Koresh thing is happening. So it's come up in the news again. Plus, there's another TV dramatization called Waco, The Aftermath. Like there's no math going on after Waco. I mean, the numbers were there when it happened.
Yeah.
But I guess as a town, they must just have such weird, you know, low self-esteem, because that's what it's associated with, is this one incident. And what does that have to do with the rest of the town, really?
Totally.
Yeah. You know, they're just sort of stuck with that label. And, you know, thank God for Chip and Joanna bringing
Chip and Joanna changed everything, Doug. Everything. They changed everything.
I kind of want to go to Waco now.
See? It works. And then there's this place. So that's sort of like, and it's a very specific, I'm sure someone listening to this is familiar with Chip and Joanna's style, their aesthetic. But my sense of it is sort of like younger Martha Stewart, but goes to church every Sunday and have at least two kids. Like, that's sort of the takeaway for me. It's like, it feels very specific, like, you know, sort of a hey, we're in the middle of Texas, but we're also kind of in Martha's Vineyard. And maybe there's like a sign on the wall that says, bless this home, you know, but it's like a cooler version. It's like, this isn't your grandma's bless this home sign. You know what I mean?
Right. It's in a much cooler font. It was stitched.
It's in a cooler font. And yeah, so it's just this very, very specific aesthetic. And but then going back to Austin, I stopped at this truck stop that I guess is also very, very famous in that area. I think it's called Bucky's. And it's, you know what I'm talking about, Doug?
Yeah, it's big down here. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like a warehouse full of like beef jerky. I mean, you'll see a billboard on your way to it that says "Explore the Wall of Beef Jerky."
It's crazy.
Climb the wall.
Texans just love gas stations. We love them. It's so weird that it became so popular.
Bucky's is all over the place, so it's not just a Texas thing.
Is that true?
I think I went to a Bucky's.
Yeah, I don't know.
You probably did.
I think I went to one in Illinois or somewhere, like driving to Madison. I think there's, you know, it's between big cities.
Yeah.
And then it's just this big city unto itself. Like, it's
100%.
I think I've been to one or two Bucky's, at least one, maybe two. And it's just hilarious how, you know, you could just go in there and take pictures and you have miles of funny photographs of all like the hats with stupid expressions on them, that kind of stuff. You know,
it's
the ones where they only made one, because why would anybody buy it? But it's, you know,
it's just sitting there with a layer of dust, but has appeared in 1,000 Instagram posts.
Yeah, it's really a real bric-a-brac heaven, I think, going into Bucky's. But I have a pitch for you, Janet.
Oh, yeah.
Waco Sketchfest. bring more light to Waco.
They have a thriving film community there. I guess the Baylor, and I will say because of Baylor, I think it's been infused with some kind of young creative blood too. So it's one of those towns that has like a lot of very differing communities. And so they kind of got their own thing going on. They've got a film festival and
right, but it's not Waco College. It's Baylor. Like they're sneaky about it. I never knew Baylor was in Waco, and I've heard Baylor my whole life. You know?
See? Yeah. No, you're totally right. You're totally right. And if I liked hot weather more, and if I didn't feel like it was a kind of slog to get there. But unfortunately, I feel like there's like eight cities I would probably go to first if there was going to be.
Has that been a discussion with you and your partners? Have you ever thought about launching a Sketchfest in another city aside from San Francisco?
I mean, we've definitely talked about it. It's hard because, you know, it's so hard to put that festival together just in San Francisco. And I like doing other things besides producing a comedy festival, and it would be harder and harder to do that stuff if we had to do, because, you know, we'd have to do it like the exact opposite time of year, because it would be too stressful to try to do it near the one that we're doing in the winter. And the next thing you know, I wouldn't be able to go to Waco and Chip and Joanna's because I would just be in front of my computer the whole time. But we've talked about it. I mean, you know, I think like places like Portland and stuff where I just, you know, was so sad when Bridgetown, and I know you used to go to Bridgetown too, Benson, like that it was such a bummer that, you know, when those guys decided to pull the plug, because it's such a great reason to go to like a very cool city.
Yeah, you know, a lot of cities now, of course, have their own. I wouldn't suggest Austin because Moon Tower is just a monster.
Yeah, it really is.
That festival, you know, you need a magnifying glass to read the fine print when they list all the comedians.
I know.
The names just keep getting smaller and smaller. I'm glad I got Barry this year because I'm worried how small my name would be.
I saw the poster. I saw your name. It was extremely legible. But yeah, is it two weekends now, or is it?
I think the 12th or the 23rd. It's okay. Like, I think it's going on now until the 23rd of July. It's crazy.
Uh-oh.
It does feel like it's getting longer and longer. It's crazy.
Moon Tower in residence.
Yeah. They're, you know, they talk about it year round. They did it like only a few months, 6 months apart when they got to do it again after Pando. They did a September edition. Then they still went ahead with the April one the next year. So just a massive undertaking. And
yeah,
God bless them, I say. So how did you get involved with SF Sketchfest in the first place? How did that get started?
That got started because Cole Stratton and David Owen and I were at SF State together, and along with our friend Gabe Diani, we had started doing some sketch around and about the San Francisco comedy scene, which was, you know, largely, if not entirely, stand-up clubs. And the stand-up clubs were great because they kind of liked the idea of having non-stand-up from time to time. But that doesn't necessarily translate to audiences wanting to see like four college kids with like bad wigs changing on stage for questionably quality sketches. And there wasn't really a place. There wasn't like a UCB. I mean, there kind of still isn't up there, but there just wasn't a place to just do your little sketch 45 minutes that you put together, or half an hour, or a couple of sketches to try out on like a variety night or something like that. There just wasn't really anything like that. And so in trying to figure out where to do stuff and in interacting with some of the other sketch groups, one of which was called the Fresh Robots, and it was W. Jamal Bell. It was Kamau Bell. It was, I don't know why I said Jamal. I've only known him for 25 years. And it was Colin Mahan and Al Madrigal. So it's interesting to like see the non-sketch careers that those guys went on to have with great success. And then like there were six groups total that we had kind of, including us, that we had sort of been around as we were all trying to kind of figure out how we were going to perform. And at some point we were like, well, what if we just rented a small theater for a month and we all kind of shared the cost of that? And we volunteered to like produce it and sort of do all of that side of it. And so we did it and put it together as a Sketchfest. So the very first one was in like a 90 seat theater near Union Square. And but because it was novel, we got a lot of press coverage and we ended up selling it out. And so that was really, you know, we sort of like, we were like, oh, I guess we didn't fuck this up. And then could we not fuck it up a second year at a slightly bigger venue? And so we've just been growing it ever since. But it really was like just a purely selfish, like, how do we perform? And we sort of split the time. We would like headline. Everybody got a chance to headline with everybody else from the other sketch groups and stuff. And then we would have like one night where we all performed a little kind of olio of stuff. So it was kind of a great way to like foster more of a sketch community, I guess. And we just kind of kept making it bigger and bigger, but it's been very organic in that way because there's nothing like corporate about it.
Yeah, and once you said, you know, we'll have stand-ups as well as sketch, then that, you know, made it easier to expand quickly because there's just so many individual stand-ups that can just come do their thing. It takes less, you know, getting the group together or whatever.
Totally. And then we had like we had really cool people who, you know, sort of believed that we must know what we're doing early on, like Upright Citizens Brigade came out and Fred Willard came out with like a group that he was working with in LA. And then Fred Armisen came out the year after that. And he, you know, he wanted to do music and that sort of broke open the like, oh, we can just sort of do whatever we want if it's funny and it's good. And that's, yeah. So stand up. And then we started doing, you know, obviously at UCB did improv. So it expanded out quickly. And now it's like a real hodgepodge.
Yeah, which is fun because it's just all sorts of things. And then, you know, as a comic, I love doing it because I can just be a guest. I can be on other panels of other people's shows. And so we all just sort of, you know, do each other's things while we're there. And,
yeah.
And the multiple weekends thing is great, too. Like it. You know, I'm not saying Moon Tower should be a month long, but if it was, you know, you could just go for a weekend of it. Like as it stands now, you probably, as a comic, you probably have to go for a big chunk of it just for them justify, you know, flying you in and all that stuff.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you before we get to the, you know, I guess this is part of the meat of it because we talk about names on this show and, you know, your name specifically we'll be talking about today and breaking it down, but also sometimes we talk about the characters that people play and what their names are. And as a regular character on the show, You're the Worst.
Yeah.
My question about that show is who was the worst? Do you think your character...
I had
a shot at the prize because I think she was pretty awful.
Oh my God, I do think so. I mean, she was awful. I mean, and I'll say she was awful in a way. I think people who like the show are maybe like me, the kind of people who would find her character the worst. Do you know what I mean? Like specific. Her specific type of worstness is I feel like. Me and people like me, who in turn tend to be people who like the show, have very little tolerance for. Whereas, like, I can sort of tolerate someone who's broken in a different way. Like, yeah, I have plenty of friends who suffer from depression. I've suffered from depression. Like, I understand that. I understand drug addiction. I understand all of that. I don't understand entitled, like, closed-minded snobs. And that is principally what my character Becca Barbara, Barbara being her last name, was. and she was married to such a goober, played by the brilliant Todd Anderson, who I know you've had on various shows, Doug. And
yeah, he did this show because, you know, he's got that crazy thing going on, you know, because
sure,
because of SAG, he had to use his middle name. Uh-huh. It's such a bulky name.
Yeah, he's, but you know, again, that's like, he's an idiot, but he's so idiotic that he's like very lovable. And so, yeah. So I think, what do you think? Do you feel like she,
I didn't want to come at you with the character was the
You're
worst,
welcome to,
you know, in case you thought there was, she had her good side, but she does not. I mean, I guess to play her, you have to feel like, you know, everything she says and does, she feels it's right. Like you said, entitled, it would be a great way to describe her.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, you're like the best you can sort of give someone like that. And it was so crazy. Like the fourth or fifth season, all of a sudden the writer's room had written this kind of like monologue, this dreamy monologue that she just sort of goes off on at some point, where she talks about wanting to live by herself in a condo in like Marina Del Rey with sort of short lesbian hair, as I think she called it. And it was this weird moment where I was like, I read the script and I was like, oh my God, has this been going on inside of her this entire time? Cause that was tamped really far down. But it was cool. It was cool. But because it was like, oh, she does, there's some kind of internal life happening here. But for the most part, I guess I just came at her like, oh, this is one of those people who does not want to look at anything real inside of herself. Like, it's too scary. It's too scary. So just make everything about stuff that doesn't actually matter.
Yeah. And the, you know, the creator of the show, Stephen Falcon, the people who wrote it must have really appreciated that, you know, you were able to, you know, lay into that character, you know, really portray that character no matter how much worse they kept making her. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and then reward her by a threesome. Reward her with a threesome. Did she earn that threesome? I don't know, but she definitely got one.
Good for her. But also just that her name in on your IMDb page, it's for your character, it straight up says Becca Barbara / Becca. Like, you like play two different characters on the show. There was Becca Barber and then there was just Becca, but I think they're just confusing the fact that probably in later episodes the last name doesn't ever come up.
Yeah, I'm sure it's something like that. I feel like IMDb is right. If I had to be the person in charge of cleaning up those kinds of things on IMDb, I would go insane, because I feel like there's just a lot of that. But yeah, Becca.
That's why they just leave it. You know, I mean, that's why IMDb has IMDb Pro, because like people's publicists can go in and fix things like that if they, you know, really care.
Yeah.
But it's still clear, you know, what they meant. But I was just thinking that, you know, how when people go to name babies, there's just names they dismiss because there's a fictional character or you know, or someone from history that has that name and is terrible. So do you think? Do you think maybe there's some people that rejected Becca for their child because they were, you're the worst fans?
I'm fine with it if they did. I hope they did. I no offense to the Beccas out there, but I feel like there's better names out there in general for newborns, for the new people we bring into the world. I don't know that we need more Beccas. And I will always forever have that negative association with it. So from a personal perspective, Don't name your kid Becca. It's okay. It's okay. You can come up with something else.
It's just I think it, even when people say it, when they are saying it in a friendly tone, I think it, the name somehow drips with, there's just something wrong with it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Becca.
it goes bitchy so easy. It really does.
It does.
Watch, you're going to meet somebody who's like, this is my daughter Becca and my son Adolf.
I know Adolf really got ruined by that one guy whose last name I can't remember right now, but
I'm also blanking.
Too many Adolfs that are bad.
It only takes one,
right? Okay,
Donald's not so great anymore either.
Yeah, Donald Glover's trying to keep it alive. Donald Glover's trying to save face. Yeah.
Also, Donald's not ruined. I mean, we got to at least be grateful that, you know, he refers to himself as Trump all the time. He doesn't even refer to himself as Donald. True. I mean, the Donald is another stupid thing he says. But I think they're probably still, you know, going to be Donalds out in the world, thanks to your ones that are really holding up the honor of the name, like Donnie Wahlberg is probably a Donald.
Probably. No, it's Donwald. Donwald Wahlberg.
That's why he's a weirdo. Okay, so we're going to talk about your name one part at a time. But we have a couple of warm-up questions that we ask everybody that are kind of related to that concept. The first one being, what is your tattoo situation?
Oh, my tattoo situation. Well, I don't have any name tattoos. I don't have any tattoos anymore. I used to have like a band around my right arm. And when I moved to LA just before I turned 30 and started working, people did not know how to cover tattoos, especially like a very white person with a very dark, like solid tattoo. It wasn't like a barbed wire or anything. And so I ended up having to basically get it removed because every time I would book something, they would not want the soccer mom face I have didn't match with me having a tattoo. And so they would be like, oh, we can just cover it. And then I would walk out to set and just have this sort of gray green smear on my arm. so I slowly lased it off with the help of people who actually do that for a living. But that's what I had, and you can kind of still see it. Like there's a little bit of scar tissue, but they did a really good job. But I kind of think I want to get tattooed now. I'm at an age where I'm like, ah, fuck it. Like, let's start doing it. And then my skin will get all drapey and crepey. Who cares?
Yeah. So that's that answer. Yeah. It's a funny, I've never made the, taken the leap. I've never gotten one. I feel like I never will, but, it's the lasering off, it's like, to me, it's similar to like, it feels like it's similar to like a vasectomy or something where it's like, they say you can do that, but what you're going to have to go through, what didn't you feel like lasering it off was even more painful than getting it put on in the first place?
Oh, definitely. It definitely was. But I will say this. I did not know this about myself until I was getting my tattoo in the first place, but which was when I was, very, very early 20s. I might have been like 21 or 22. Is that I do have that adrenalized response to that particular kind of pain. Not all pain. And I'm sure there's pains I haven't felt yet that I don't want to find out if I have this response. But to something like a tattoo needle, I have that rush. I get that same rush, that endorphin rush, which is what people talk about, especially when people who are like, I got two sleeves, because part of it becomes that feeling. And it wasn't like pleasant enough for me to be like, I got to get a ton of tattoos. But when I was getting it removed, I would get that same rush. And so they loved me there because I would laugh through the pain. And so I would come out and people would be like, oh, it can't be that bad. Like people in the waiting room would be like, oh, she's having a great time. But it was that laughing of like, oh my fucking God, this is so intense. Yeah. so it wasn't that bad but again, there's like types of pain that I've felt where in no way would I ever want that or tolerate it no matter what,
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't know till you're in it, I guess. So it's good to not don't even need to explore that really.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever been in a situation where you had a pet that you were responsible for naming?
Yes.
How'd that work out?
Hopefully good. I've definitely had a handful of pets. I feel good. I think good. Sometimes when you get a rescue, they supposedly already have a name. So like the husky that I have, her name is Whitley, because when I adopted her, they were like, and this is Whitney, and I was like, no it isn't. But what can I name her that will sound similar so that if she comes, that's like the name she's used to hearing. So she became Whitley, and then I have another dog named Jasper, and that's just he did not come with a name. He was very little when he was found, so he's Jasper, and that feels like a good fit.
Jasper is a I don't know what the dog looks like, and I already like it just because it's a good dog name, because it's not terribly common, but it also feels more like a dog than a person these days. Really need a human person named Jasper.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. You can tell he's friendly, maybe he's a little mischievous, but he's not a bad dude. Got a good sense of humor.
Means well. All right. Well, you've answered the pre-questions, and now we're already at the point where we have to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to get into the name Janet. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. We're here with Janet Varney, and let's talk about it. Growing up, Janet, what's been your relationship with the name Janet?
I am just fine with it. I neither hate it nor love it. When I was little, my dad just told this story recently, that, like, I guess when I was really little, I was trying to pick a stage name right away, which is embarrassing on a number of levels, not the least of which is I would love to be like, no, I wanted to be a marine biologist like all other smart children. But apparently I was like super into the idea of being an actor and immediately wanted to get rid of my name. And my dad, his version of the story is like that I had written down some name and held it up and said, what do you think of this name? And my dad said, well, I guess it's fine. What is it? And I said, well, that's my stage name. And my dad said, well, this is again, like a 4-year-old. And my dad was like, I have a good idea for a stage name. How about Janet Varney? And I was like, and then the end of the story now is like, but I do get to see the name Janet Varney in the credits of things. like it's a gotcha. So my dad's very smug about that, but but yeah, so I mean, what do we got? We got Janet on Three's Company. That was those reruns were happening. So there was a little of that, but much more so and continues to be the case from time to time, but a lot when I was younger, people would just come up to me and start singing Damn It Janet from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which made me like the name more, quite frankly, because it was like, it was cool to be associated in some way with Rocky Horror.
Yeah, it's one of the most fun, non-rhymes in the history of music, because yep. It doesn't actually rhyme, but it somehow works when they sing it.
That's right. Yeah, but the first couple of times someone sang it, I, of course, had no idea what they were talking about. And so I had to go through the whole, like, going and having a V on my cheek and lipstick and stuff like that. But then I guess I was initiated.
It's a very, very catchy song. It's one of my favorite songs in a musical full of catchy songs.
Yeah.
And, she was Janet Weiss.
Yes.
And
yes.
I could not have said the name Weiss with more venom and vitriol constantly. And then to have a whole song about, damn it, Janet. Like, the guy singing to her is in love with her. And he's like, damn it. Just because it rhymes, I guess. But maybe your parents were they influenced at all by, were they fans of, like, Janet Leigh, do you think, maybe?
That would be really cool. No, I think it was more just like a distant family name. Like, they didn't want anything that was super derivative of immediate family, but somewhere back in the annals of some side of my family, the name Janet existed. And so that was something that they agreed on. It might have been the only thing they agreed on before they got divorced. And my middle name is Maureen, which is for one of my mom's sisters.
Oh, I see. Okay. So
no Janet Leigh. I wish I could say it was, but.
Well, you got to put Janet Jackson, like, in the plus column, right? That's always 100%. Been positive to share with her, because she's a beast.
For sure. Only second to Damn It Janet was Miss Jackson, If You're Nasty, was the question that I was asked after introducing myself. And I would always say, you're damn right, or something stupid like that. So the Janet Jackson, and she's a very famous Janet. She's a much more famous Janet, much, much, much more famous Janet. And I think those are the only ones I can really think of. But I forgot about Janet Leigh, to be honest with you. That's how little that comes up. Janet Leigh is one of those names that is just, it almost seems like it's just one name. You know what I mean? Like if you were trying to think of her name and someone was like, her last name, I know her name is Leigh. I feel like it would be hard to come up with Janet Leigh because you're like, no, Janet Leigh. Like John Hodgman. Like John Hodgman isn't John. I mean, I guess he is, but in my head, he's John Hodgman.
Right. Because
once you separate it, it falls apart.
There's a distinguished fact quality to him that makes the last name, you know, make sense to throw that in there.
Yeah.
It's like there's this old this actor I was just watching on the 70s movie channel on Pluto who has always played characters that everyone was scared of. And his name was John Houseman. Mm-hmm, and that's the first thing I thought of when you said John Hodgman. It's just like they always have to say both names with that dude, too. So Maureen has got you got pretty good flow there with your name because it's all two syllables each one.
That is another story my dad likes to tell, even more boring than the first one.
I can't believe I'm bringing up dad's first one.
Yep. Because my mother's other sister is Marilyn, and they like that name a lot, and they were going to do Marilyn, and then they realized that was just a fool's errand because it had three syllables, and they were like, no, it doesn't trip off the tongue like Janet Maureen Varney. Janet Marilyn Varney, garbage.
Yeah, it's really so awful. No, it's not, you know, it does... The triples, the more syllables in the middle name does draw more weird, like, kind of attention to it. Like, I get the thought process behind that, but I don't feel like Maureen was necessarily the answer either, though, for flow.
Yeah.
I mean, they really should have gone with Damn It.
Right? Janet Damn It Varney.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm into it.
Ms. JDV.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, just go ahead. Can you imagine going to all the trouble of a name change for your middle, just your middle name? Because that's the whole thing to change your name. God. But you can change your name, you know, like that's one thing that's always been fascinating to me is like, you know, I have at least one friend, maybe two that went through the process of just like they have a stage name and they went and talked to the right people and, you know, got their name officially changed. So
it'd be really weird for the sake of this podcast if one day we logged on and I was like, hey, by the way, my name's Steve now.
Oh, no.
Oh, my Doug. Why did you ruin our podcast premise?
Obviously, then Doug Benson would go change his name to Steve because he committed to the bit.
Wide world of Steve.
Uh-huh. It's easier for me, though, because I'm already Steve's already in the middle. That's my middle name.
Oh, really? Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but I'm Douglas Steven Benson, so I've always appreciated the double syllables, three times in a row. Yeah,
you get it.
Uh-huh. What about so you had fun with your initials, the first and last one, when you came up with your own podcast, because it's called the JV Club.
It is,
and I've always enjoyed that name. It's so perfect. To use that, it conjures up so much.
Yeah, that worked out. It's funny that there are people who have known it or known me or both for a while and finally put together that it wasn't just Junior Varsity, like that there was an actual connection to my name.
People are still just trying figuring out Doug is Doug Love in Doug Loves Movies is me. They're coming around on that finally.
I want that to be true so much. Oh my God, you're Doug.
Yeah, that's me.
That's really
funny. Yeah, but Janet Varney Club would be a weird title for sure. So JV Club.
Yeah.
Gets it done.
Gets it done.
Is that an ongoing is it still a show?
Oh yeah. Listen, I've been reticent to drag you on it just because the more I like someone, the more I'm like, I can't ask them to do my podcast. Everyone has a podcast, right guys? I like to talk to people about their teenage years. It's just always, there's never not something about it that ends up like being so delightful or surprising or strange. So that's sort of the hook of that.
Yeah.
So hence the JV and junior varsity being meaningful in some way, I guess, too.
Yeah, and those the kids that were on the JV squad or whatever, they were elites basically at the school.
I guess I did not have any connection whatsoever with sports. Like when people ask me what sports were played at my school, I have to like filter it through whatever vague memory I have of someone mentioning it. Like I never went to a game. I just didn't have any connection to sports at all.
It's funny. They do like, you know, actual events where people watch for all the sports in high school, but I can barely remember. I only went to the football games. That was the only one.
Yeah.
That was the only sport that as a student in the school, I went and watched it on a fairly regular basis. They make such a bigger deal out of football than anything else. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I never even went to that. I just did not have, I mean, I'm trying to think if I even knew anybody who played sports. I must have known people on like track. But yeah.
Well, because people are always running away from you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because every time I would get together with someone, they would set up a series of hurdles between me and them. And it was super awkward.
People like a good obstacle here and there when they're dealing with others.
That's basically what an escape room is. It's fine.
Did you have, speaking of high school, at that age, did you have any nicknames or were people just fine with calling you Janet?
I think people, my last name is an easy one to call me by. Like people like calling me Varney. And then people have always have called me JV. So there's definitely been JV. And then my dad is the only person who calls me Miss J.
Oh,
whoa.
I know.
Wow. Does he think
talk
he's
about
raising,
elite?
Does he think you're like a madam or something? Like a
running a brothel? He thinks I'm a madam's cat. Yeah, that's been since I was little. I'm glad that no one else adopted that. But yeah, Varney. Varney's a good, like, you know, I'm a Varney. Like I don't have a lot of feminine energy necessarily. So I think people find comfort in being able to be like Varney.
Yeah, and they also, you know, that's also a way to hide your feelings about someone by giving them a more, like,
that's
you
right.
know, buddy, dude kind of name.
Maybe so. I'm glad to say no one has ever called me Jan or wanted to call me Jan, except for Jimmy Pardo, who only does it because he knows I fucking hate it.
That is Jan, really.
It changes everything. It's a completely different name.
Yeah,
right?
Just thinking about Janet as I did to prepare for this, you know, that's how I prepare. I think about the person's name for a minute or two. And I never crossed my mind that anyone would call you Jan. You don't.
Thank you.
To me, you don't seem like a Jan at all.
Thank you. This is like the biggest gift you could give me.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy has to say, you know, Jimmy has to say like automatic teller machine. Like he has to say all of the, right. You know what I mean? He shortens or lengthens everything based on what he's trying to accomplish.
Correct. Yeah. And now you see him like, it's like he's like winding up the pitch before he says it just because he wants to make sure he doesn't miss a moment of just the absolute ire in the rage and wrath in my eyes. He basically rubs his hands together like a cartoon villain.
So was Jan on the Brady Bunch? Was that supposed to be short for Janet?
I doubt it. It's
her
probably,
name is
I
just
think,
Jan?
Well, it might be Janice, but I just
Janet,
don't think
yeah.
anyone.
Janice.
Yeah, I don't think anyone. I just feel like if your name's Janet, you don't go by Jan. I don't know. That could be. That's unresearched. That is unresearched opinion right there.
Here's another unresearched opinion. I bet you the name Janice is less popular because of Janice on Friends.
I'm sure you're right.
Because it's because it's a pretty cool sounding name, I think. But she was so annoying, and you know, she's still the show is still so popular.
It's so popular, yeah. I mean, in fact, I just saw. I don't remember why I saw it, but I saw something about like I guess her daughter has like blew up on TikTok by impersonating her mom's character on Friends laugh because that was like her big thing.
Yeah.
So it's popular enough that her own child is like becoming famous from it, from impersonating it. How meta
is
that?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess her voice is already somewhat similar, so she just has to, you know, do a laugh that is one of those laughs that it sounds like the person, like if you said to the person, hey, why don't you change up your laugh a little bit, that they could. You know what I mean? That's always the weirdest thing to me when somebody has a really obnoxious laugh. It's like there aren't enough people pointing that out to you.
Yeah.
That you don't think about, because it really is like people who go, ha, like actually say ha, speaking of Jimmy Pardo. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? That's a choice. That's not like, oh, that's a natural laugh to have, you know?
I think they would argue with that, right? I mean, they would say, I don't know. Yeah, it would be interesting to know. I wish I could sort of be a fly on the wall if there really are people that are cultivating their own laughs, like they sort of come to the decision about what they want their laugh to sound God. Like.
I did a series of shows at one club where this one guy would show up. He's a big comedy fan, so he wasn't just a fan of mine, but he liked comedy in general. This was in Denver. And he would show up to my shows and sit in the front row in the middle and had such a loud, distinctive, always laughing when nobody else is laughing laugh that it just would, I'd make fun of him for a while and then they'd have to call back to it whenever he'd do it again, you know, and it just like, you know, he becomes such a part of my act because I can't ignore it, you know? I said, you know, can you please just ask him to just, you know, that I appreciate he comes to all my shows, but could he please just sit like further back in the room so it's a little less, because he'd sit in a spot also where he's kind of illuminated because he's right up front, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And never came to another show of mine again. Hates my guts. Hates my guts.
Do you think that there is this the sort of desire to, it's like the anti-heckle, but there's still maybe a sense of kind of wanting to feel a part of it, like wanting to.
Absolutely. Yeah. He enjoyed the attention. So why change the behavior if it's getting you that sort of attention? But, you know, the dozens of comics he must have done that to, it's pretty hilarious.
Man. And now he hates your guts. Wait, do you know he hates your guts, or you're just extrapolated from the fact that he's never come back to a show that he hates
your guts? His response to sitting somewhere else was to just not attend the show.
It made him personally angry. Know that. That does not mean that he hates you. It might mean that he's so crushed so embarrassed that
he either hates me or he's incredibly sad about what happened. Either way, that's not what I'm looking for in a comedy audience member.
I didn't help at all. I was like, oh, don't feel bad. I think you probably just broke his spirit forever.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you never saw him again because he killed himself. You know, you never know.
God.
You never know what
happened. Thanks, Doug. Yeah.
You know, maybe he doesn't go to any comedy shows. Maybe I should be considered a hero.
Yeah.
For ending his reign.
He's never laughed again since you said that.
Completely.
He's never laughed again.
Oh my God.
Why
doesn't Dale ever laugh? Oh, a comedian one time told him that they didn't like his laugh, so he stopped.
Yeah.
He stopped for life.
That's a lot of self-control right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know his name's Dale. I got to keep my eyes open for him when I'm in Denver.
I just made up Dale. That seemed like a good name for him.
It was. Well, yeah. I don't know. It does sound like Dale is a good enthusiastic laugher name. So I think you nailed it.
I think I did. Yeah. I think that should be his name if it isn't. All right. So let's talk Varney. It's already come up a few times, obviously, but the only Varney I could think of from the, you know, world and history is Jim Varney.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Hey, Vern.
Uh-huh.
And all the great movies that he made.
All of them. Yep.
Ernest. Ernest Goes to School. Ernest Goes to Jail.
I really wish the first one had just been called Ernest.
I know. And they didn't even do one called The Importance of Being Ernest. That seemed like an obvious one.
Obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. But he went to a lot of places and did a lot of things, and it's always in the title.
Yeah.
So, you know, because people don't want to be surprised by a Ernest movie.
Where will
they
he be?
Know going but in, is he in jail or is it Christmas?
Yeah. I can talk about Jim Varney because I know that, speaking of Denver, one of my dad's best friends lives in Denver. And when Jim Varney was coming up in the world, he was just on like regional commercials for something, and mm-hmm. they were in Colorado and they were in Denver, and so like everyone in Denver knew who Jim Varney as Vern or Ernest. Yeah. Yep. Nope.
Ernest.
He's
yeah.
Ernest. Yep. We just talked about it. We just talked about it. Yeah. So that was how that whole bit started. Was like in commercials, he would like show up and be annoying in this unseen person's world, and people like loved him, and then he ended up getting like a whole career based on that character.
Wow.
Yeah, he'd just stick his face in the camera and they'd have like a fisheye lens. And yeah. He'd just be like, hey, Vern, go buy this car. Like, he'd exactly. just be like a pitch man, but silly.
Yeah.
And then I think they started hiring him in different markets. Like, I think he became nationally famous from doing local commercials in more than one market.
Yeah. But he's supposed to be a super nice guy. People still ask me if I'm related to him in any way. I have to say, not that I know of. But my one, like, I think my senior year of high school, I had a friend, still a dear friend, but she asked me, and for some reason on that day, in that moment, for the first time ever, I was like, yeah, he's my uncle. And she was like, no, he's not. And I was like, yeah, he is. It's my dad's brother, Jim. You know, my dad's super funny. And she was like, no, he's not. And so I just maintained that lie. And she kept calling him on. She would ask me to tell stories and stuff, and I would just bullshit and come up with things. And then finally one day she was like, I want to see pictures. And I was like, and this is very like Casey Anthony, but I was like, come to my house then. Come on over, come see the pictures. And without any game plan at all, I like went and found an old photo album of my dad's, and I just flipped through until I found someone who was like so far away that you couldn't tell. And I was like, see? And God help her, she leans and she goes, oh my God, I can't believe he is your uncle.
What?
Wow. Just,
and that was as long as I can let it go.
Just the idea of presenting the evidence, like just showing it.
I think that's
it.
Like, that's
enough.
It. Yeah.
That's enough. It's like when you take out your ID, when they ask for an ID, and you take it out and start to hand it to them, and they didn't really need to ask in the first place, and then they realize, oh yeah, this person's serious about it.
Yeah. And I wish I could apply that same bullshit strategy to everything, because it was so empowering, and the power of feeling was just like so intoxicating. And then I immediately was like, oh no, honey, that's not him. He's not my uncle. Like, oh, poor you. And she was furious. So I couldn't ride it out. Like, I had to let it get to the point where she believed me. And seconds later, I was like, no, he's not. But if I could have applied that to more, I would be possibly a psychopath, but I would probably be so much happier, because I only got that feeling once. Like, I'm not a great bullshitter, and now I get why people do it and they get addicted to it, because it feels really good.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, getting away with it, especially a lie that's only going with one person like that. Yeah. That's pretty hilarious, you know, like,
yeah,
because, you know, you'd think he'd be in situations where she'd bring it up in front of other friends of yours.
Yeah, maybe she did, but I think everyone, I mean, I just don't.
Everyone would just laugh, probably.
No one else, yeah. No one else. It wasn't as important to anyone else either, like whether it was true or not, I think. It just became like this thing that she needed closure on, and I gave it to her. But yeah, so Jim Varney, no relation, still comes up in conversation. People of a certain age, and then younger people have no idea who that is. Yeah, but yeah. He was supposed to be a really nice guy. Supposed to be very, very cool and nice guy.
I've heard nothing but nice things about him. I think he's a funny dude. I just think he just got, you know, into a series of movies that were aimed more for kids, so that it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, he's a good choice to play the Pa on the Beverly Hillbillies movie.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. There you go.
That was good casting, but you know, he's just gonna be Ernest his whole life.
Apparently
he's also the voice of the springy dog in the Toy Story movies.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So somebody has to do an impression of his voice now.
Yeah. I forgot about that too. Yeah. 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 That's a good company to be in. That's a great cast.
I think so. Has someone taken over a voice role that you've done? Has someone else had to do basically an impression of your
voice? Not that I know of.
Hasn't happened yet, but someday maybe.
I mean, for sure, if I die and there's anything I'm doing that anyone gives a shit about, I guess maybe. But yeah, no, I've never had to. I'm always interested when I get auditions that are like, must match, you know, sound match this person who I guess was too famous and didn't want to do the movie version or the TV version of a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not like an impressionist. So every time that's those come through, I'm like, maybe I can. And then I try and I'm like, no, that sounds like me.
Tom Hanks has a brother that gets to be, gets to be Woody and all the things that aren't the movies themselves.
Which is unfortunate for Todd Anderson, because I feel like he could very easily sound like Tom Hanks.
Oh yeah.
He's around the corner from Tom Hanks. So
absolutely.
You know what I mean? He could be raking in all that sweet cash.
He could do a really good, that Tom Hanks shouting voice.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like Tom Hanks always, everything he's in, at some point he has to shout at somebody about something.
Yeah, not dissimilar from Nicolas Cage, who also has to scream or do something in which he yells. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta raise your voice at some point. Keep people awake.
Got to.
Gotta wake up
the
audience.
Secret to success. Secret to success.
I keep seeing promos for Renfield, you know, where looks great, where Nicolas Cage plays Dracula.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny how he's basically good, but you know, doing the same thing he did in Vampire's Kiss, where he played a guy who thought he was Dracula.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And all these years later, he gets to really do it. It's so funny to me.
Yeah. I just rewatched Face Off for the first time in many years. Ooh. And God, that movie's fun. It's so stupid. It's so stupid, but it's
so fun. And
they're
doing a sequel.
Are they really?
Yeah. It's like, they might even be in production, and it sounds like they're bringing both actors back, which is insane.
Oh my God.
Well, they're both, you know, they're both more similar to each other now than they were then. Uh-huh. You know, now it's just two bald dudes pretending to be each other.
I hate to tell you this, my friend, but I think they might have been two bald guys back then. I think they've both been wearing toupees for a really long time.
Yeah. They've both been insanely wiggy.
They've both been insanely wiggy.
Yeah, it's true. Especially because I think Travolta preserves it, like, would try to have a nice head of hair whenever he'd show up publicly in places.
Yeah.
Whereas Nick Cage was more like, you know, if you saw him just walking around, he'd have kind of more of his normal look or whatever.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. I think I feel like I've seen evidence of that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a sequel. This is very good to know. I didn't know that I was, like, preparing myself for a sequel that I wasn't aware of, but now I'm going to be
ready
to go. Wait.
We love to give our guests good news before we
Thank you. Before
we wrap things up. And this has been terrific. One more quick question. Do you have any friends named Janet?
Do I have any current friends named Janet? I don't think so. It tends to be, for the most part, older women that I meet are named Janet. I worked with a Janet on a TV show, and it was very exciting. And she was like this, like, sort of a, I don't know if you know who Colleen Dewhurst is, but just sort of this like Canadian, like could have been a trucker kind of, like, there's these sort of like road hard, put away wet, like Canadian smoker women who are just, you know, like you know your way around a shotgun.
She ran a bowling alley. That was the
Janet I knew.
There was a movie where Colleen Dewhurst ran a bowling alley, and it seemed
perfect. See? Exactly. That is exactly the type of person I'm talking about. So I felt like she lent me an air of, like, you know, smoky credibility that her name was also Janet. But I think that's it.
Any friends that go by Miss J?
Thankfully, no. Thankfully, no.
Well, what would you like to leave folks with in terms of plugs? Do you have stuff to plug?
Well, first, I just like to do some shouting so people wake up and realize this is the shouting portion of the show. So that was the shouting portion.
You managed to shout without raising your voice.
Well, I just leaned away from my microphone because I'm a pro, just like Tom Hanks and Nicolas Cage. So I'm glad we woke everyone up and gave them the performance of a lifetime. You can listen to the JV Club. You can listen to, I have a podcast on iHeart that's like all things like Avatar: The Last Airbender, if you're into that. It's called Braving the Elements. And then this show that I'm on with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne is, I think finally maybe going to come out in June. And it's called Platonic. It's an Apple TV show. So maybe that will be out. Big question mark.
Wow. Yeah. Rose Byrne already has it. I've been waiting for them to say whether or not there's going to be more of that Rose Byrne show physical on Apple.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they're not mutually exclusive. Like, I feel like,
right.
You know what I mean? I feel like mm-hmm. it would be very easy for her to be doing both for that network. So,
yeah,
I kind of feel like there will be more physical, but I don't know why, where I got that idea.
Yeah. I hope so. Maybe yeah, you got
she's
it.
She's so great.
Maybe Rory Scovel told you.
Maybe Rory Scovel told me.
Yeah, because it's fun to watch him on that show. He plays a character that's pretty awful most of the time.
Oh, brother in arms.
Yeah, exactly. he's related to Becca probably somehow.
Yeah.
Doug Millard, what do you got to plug, buddy?
Well, if you squint really hard, you can see my name on the Moon Tower poster. I'll be Moon Tower.
Outstanding.
I'm only doing a couple shows because I'm going to be out of town. But I'll be on a couple shows Wednesday night. Come and find me. And then I'll be in Bloomington, Indiana, May 4th through the 6th, opening for Dan Cummins at the Comedy Attic. May 4th through the 6th. Come on out, Indiana.
That club's what super about you, fun. Dude? Yeah, it's a
I've
good
never
time.
Been. I'm excited.
Oh, it's good. Bloomington's adorable. Cool. It's just like a little, you know, you're just in downtown Bloomington. It's just like four blocks or something, and it's really cute.
Is that where Breaking Away was shot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Breaking Away takes place there. Oh, and the last shot of the movie is like a shot of the town square. The credits go over a shot of the town square, and the very last thing in the credits is it says filmed entirely in Bloomington, Indiana. Like,
well,
they make
see,
a big
that
deal
stuck
out
with
of it.
Me. That stuck with me. It's, I mean, it's definitely a favorite movie, but I did not, I really was like, I really perked up. I was like, Bloomington, hold on.
Yeah. And there's a Bloomington, Illinois, and a Bloomington, like six or seven other states, but it's the Indiana one really stands out.
Nice.
Doug Loves Movies is back at Dynasty Typewriter in LA this Sunday. And then I'll be doing stand up in Providence, Rhode Island at the Comedy Connection April 20th through the 22nd. Thank you, Janet Varney. This was so much fun.
Oh my God. Thanks, guys, for having me on. Shout out to Dale. Dale, I just want you to know Doug doesn't mind if you laugh. Just you know what? Let yourself laugh for the first time in years. Just don't go to a show. It's not a big deal.
Thank God podcasting came along so Dale can listen to my show and laugh his ass off in the privacy zone home and not bother anybody.
That's right.
Yeah. We always come up with a stupid pun involving our names, Doug, because this is Wide World of Dougs. So that's how I'm going to end the show and title this show Doug Fest, I think, is a good title for it. Doug Fest with Janet Varney.
Fantastic.
So, thank you, Janet. As always, Doug Fest.
Hello, Dougs.